Well, I trained as an actress many moons ago. I went to the Birmingham School of Speech and Drama, which was a fantastic experience. It's a 3-year course, and I came out with a BA in acting. But unfortunately, I kind of fell out of love with the acting side of things, but then found myself in presenting and voiceover work, which I loved. I love being in front of the camera. I love using my voice and using all of the exercises that I learned at drama school. But like with everything in that line of work, the jobs are few and far between. So what I decided to do was to set up my own business, teaching people how to feel more confident with their voices, how to use them more effectively, and just teach everything that I kind of use myself.
And what kind of services do you provide for people who don't know?
I go under the elocution umbrella, if you like, and that covers accent reduction. So say people are from another country or even from this country and don't like the way that they sound and want to take on the more RP, received pronunciation, BBC English, Queen's English, if you like, then I work with them on opening up their sounds and making them more neutral. I also work with people on public speaking skills. So if you've got to go for a job interview and you're terrified, if you've got to get up in front of an audience and you really don't like that experience at all, then you can come and see me and I can help you feel more confident and comfortable.
Why do you think people find public speaking daunting?
It's a funny one because I'll have a chat with a lot of my students before we get started to find out more about them. And it can be anything from a bad experience. So someone perhaps has made a comment and said that was rubbish, or they've perhaps laughed at them at a vulnerable state. You know, getting up on stage, you do feel vulnerable and exposed. And you don't want at that point someone to start laughing at you or pointing at you or whispering and things like that. So that can make a difference. Or perhaps that they've heard themselves or watched themselves and realised that that's not quite how they sound, or just been taken aback by how they've delivered the presentation, and that's put them off ever wanting to do it again. And it's kind of like that, the thing of get back on the horse. If you have a bad experience and you don't kind of do it again, then the negativity that you feel can get worse and worse and worse and build up in your head. So you get to the point where you never want to do it again.
How easy is it to overcome fears, though, would you say?
The way I see it is that you have a choice. You have a negative thought and you have a positive thought. What we tend to do is believe the negative. And for some reason, we will believe that over the positive. Whereas, yes, you can have a bad experience, but rather than say, that was horrible, I'm never doing that again, it was appalling, is to go, all right, well, okay, it wasn't my finest hour, but what was wrong with it? And perhaps how can I change it for the future? But then also say, actually, there were some really good things in there. My voice, the tone of my voice was good. My appearance was good. I smiled. And then take the positives and go with them and move forward. But also accept the negatives, be constructive and build on it so you can then move forward and improve on those things.
How would you approach a client if they came to you and said, I want some public speaking advice? For example, what sort of things would you ask them and what sort of things would you try and gauge from them in order to help them?
Well, we do an assessment when people come to see me and I get them to read a piece of text. We'll have a chat first so I can gauge from that how they respond to me, what their body language is like, how they use their gestures, eye contact, how fast they speak. And then I'll get them to read a passage that I give them. And again, find out how well they do it, whether they go straight into it, whether they make excuses beforehand. Oh, I'm not very good at reading out loud and da 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 da. All the things that we all usually do. So I can get an idea of somebody from there. I can also see their strong points as well. And also in that chat, I can find out how open they're going to be to stepping outside of their comfort zone or how reserved they are and how unwilling they'll be. So I can kind of get an idea of, will it be a relatively quick process, or am I going to have to change the way that I teach in order to protect them a little bit more? Because it is a scary thing and you are dealing with demons as well. You know, if you have had a bad experience or you have been traumatized slightly, it's not as easy as just saying, right, well, get up and get over it. We do have to kind of work through a few issues beforehand in order to get to that finished article.
You talk about sort of the clients as well and some of the challenges they face. How wide-ranging would you say they are? For example, is it just nerves with everybody, or do you get people who have trouble pronouncing words and things like that?
Yeah, complete range. Some people are experienced in public speaking and just want to top up their skills. Some people have never got on stage And then we have to go from that. Some people are, yep, great with the gestures and the mannerisms, body language, eye contact, things like that. But yeah, their pronunciation is off and it frightens them to get up because they think if I do pronounce something wrong, then that's going to throw me off. So we do look at everything, if you like, so that people feel more comfortable with everything that they're doing on stage and that they can be themselves, most importantly.
What kind of scenarios do your clients typically find themselves in? For example, do you get a lot of people who are going to speak at weddings? Is a lot of it work-related?
A lot of it is work-related. So conferences that are coming up, they've got to speak at a conference or just a presentation at work, a small meeting. But some of my favourites, I have to say, have been best man speeches and father of the bride speeches. And actually, people find those almost more nerve-wracking because they are in front of people that they know. And it has such an emotional feeling to it as well, you know, that they're doing something for someone that they love. So it actually even adds more pressure.
I guess everyone's different as well, aren't they? Because some people would be nervous talking in front of strangers and some people are actually quite natural doing it. And then you get the other side of it as well, as you say, where people can get nervous talking in front of their family. And then you get those who think, actually, it's my family and I've known them for years. So
absolutely. Some people will say, I don't mind speaking in front of strangers because I don't know them. I don't necessarily mind what they think of me. But then some people will say, well, yeah, family and friends, it is really important because I don't want them to think negatively of me and I'll have to see them again. Whereas again, with strangers, you might have a bad experience and go, well, I'll never see them again, so it's fine.
In terms of scenarios, we've talked about sort of conferences and weddings there as well. What's the most unusual scenario that a client of yours has found themselves in that they've needed your help with? For example, something that's not a wedding or a conference?
Probably my most unusual one was somebody who played computer games, and you have to forgive me because I'm not big on computer games, but it was an interactive computer game. So he had an avatar and it was a completely different person to who he was. It was a female, for starters, and a different personality. So he wanted to learn how to take on that persona more with his voice. So have a slightly higher voice so he could sound more feminine, more energy in his voice because his character was an energetic character. So that probably was the most unusual person that I've ever worked with, but still great fun.
Have you ever helped anyone famous out of interest as well?
No one famous as yet, hopefully one day. But I have worked with a very well-respected journalist. So he's had years of experience, but still feels that there are things he can learn and improve on, which is lovely. You know, you get to a point, you never have learned enough. There's always more that you can learn.
I want to come on to this fame idea, actually, because a few years ago, Prince Harry said he found public speaking terrifying. And obviously, he's someone who's going to have to do a lot more work because the Queen stepping back and Prince Philip stepping back as well now. And then you get people like Ed Balls as well in politics. He's had a stammer, but he's overcome that pretty much. And he's had to speak at great length sometimes in Parliament and in interviews and things like that. Do you think that challenges are more prominent if you're famous? Because there's that added pressure of being famous as well.
Yeah, and you're under the microscope and you've got to be seen to say the right things. I mean, politicians not so much because they have a firm idea of where they want to take themselves and what they want to do. So they're less inclined to try and please all the people. But the royalty, you know, you do have to be careful. And Harry, we all love him because he is himself and he often finds himself in sticky spots because he is a young guy at the end of the day. But now he's got to take on these royal responsibilities. He's got to be seen to be responsible and doing the right thing. And you are under the microscope and there is that added pressure, especially if it's not necessarily, you know, if you think about it, we'll have bad days and we'll have days when we're not wanting to talk to people or anything, but he hasn't got that luxury. He has to do it. So he always has to come off well. He always has to speak clearly. He always has to be approachable and friendly and professional. And yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. In terms of your job, though, and what you do, how much do you love it?
I do love it. And the thing that I also love is that I do find it scary. It's not something I find easy and it doesn't come naturally to me. But I love that feeling of being outside of my comfort zone and doing something scary and hopefully doing it well. And that sense of satisfaction afterwards, when I can pat myself on the back and say, okay, you worked hard and you've done a good job. So I would say that I do love it. But like I said, it's not something that comes naturally to me.
In terms of advice that you've given people, if you had to give, say, 5 top tips, what would they be and why?
And my top tips, first of all, understand exactly what is being asked of you. So go to the person who's in charge, say, what exactly are you wanting me to talk about? How long do I have to deliver this presentation? And will there be questions and answers? And is it something that's going to happen during the presentation or can that happen afterwards? So you feel completely in control of what you're doing. Then I would say, write it out in longhand if you must, but I tend to believe more in bullet points. But longhand can help you just to clear your mind and make sure that it's all focused. But then you want it in bullet points so that you're not holding onto a piece of paper or that pressure of having to know everything word for word, because with adrenaline and fear, you get up on stage and you might forget your lines. Then the worst thing is that you're thinking, oh my gosh, what was the next word on that script? Whereas if you can practice it ad-libbing a few times, then it's going to be less scary. The other one is rehearse, rehearse, rehearse. Because what can happen is that we can sit quite comfortably in our office, go over the presentation in our head. Oh, perfect, great, let's go, I'm ready. But then what happens is that as soon as you stand up in front of an audience and you're saying it out loud, things can go wrong. So it's best to practice it loads and get it in your muscle memory and get yourself feeling comfortable. The other thing then is to, once you've got the words, is to then think about your gestures and your body language and make sure that your body language supports the message that you're putting out there and you're not doing things physically out of nerves. So you don't have a pattern of perhaps playing with your hair or rolling your hand as a gesture just out of nerves. It has to support what it is that you're saying. And then my last tip really is to try and enjoy it. Don't rush through it. Don't try and get up there, speed through it and sit down hoping that that's the end of it. But just get up there and have in mind your intention. What is it that you're wanting your audience to take away from your presentation? Keep that in the forefront of your mind and deliver that to them. Make sure that they take away what it is that you want and enjoy yourself, and then reward yourself with a big old glass of wine afterwards.
That's good advice for anybody, isn't it, really?
I just want to mention that everybody can get up there and deliver a presentation, even if it feels like Mount Everest right now. There are exercises and things that you can put into place so that you feel more in control of your nerves. The way I see it is that you have adrenaline pumping through your body and then you have the fight or flight response. Now, most people want to fly. They just want to get off stage. They never want to be there. But there will be situations in life when you have to do it. So it's then about going, all right, accepting the situation and taking control of the nerves, not letting them control you, taking control of your breathing and not letting the breathing get out of hand, understanding how you sound, so controlling your volume, controlling your speed, then becoming physically aware of yourself as well. What is your body language saying? Because often what we can have going on in our head will show in our body language, but it's not quite the same thing. So for example, say you're quite a shy person, you can be sitting in a bar or in a networking event, and because you're shy, your body language, perhaps you've crossed your arms or you've got your head down. Perhaps in your mind you're going, yes, I'm shy, but I'd love someone to come and talk to me. But your body language is going, don't you dare come anywhere near me, because you've shut yourself off, you're not looking at anybody. So again, it's just about saying, all right, yes, I'm feeling scared, but I'm not going to show that in my body language. And these are all things that you can learn and be in control of so that you can actually, dare I say it, enjoy public speaking.
So just remind our listeners what your website is.
It's CambridgeshireElocution.com. So website, I'm on LinkedIn. There's a Twitter page. There's a Facebook page. So if anybody's interested, then please do get in touch.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.